The problem, I realized, was that Craig claimed to have knowledge we didn't have as to the location of Bly's Butte. That was my fault. I'd made the error of admitting that I didn't know exactly where it was. Inside the consent, it was fine to admit ignorance, because that was the first step on the road to truth. Out here, it just gave people like Craig an opening to seize power. "Excuse me?" I called out. Beller and Craig stopped arguing and looked at me. "One of my brothers has brought with him ancient documents from the consent that tell us where to go. By combining this knowledge with the skills of our Eta and the topographic maps on the Cartabla, we can find our own way to the place we are going."
"I know exactly where your friend went,"
Craig began. "We don't," I said. "But as I mentioned, we can figure it out long before we get there."
"Well, just follow me and—"
"That is a brittle plan. If we lose you in traffic, we will be in a bad way."
"If you lose me in traffic, you can call me on my G-jaw."
This hurt because Craig was being more rational than I was, but I couldn't back down at this point. "Mr. Craig, you may go on ahead if you like and have the satisfaction of beating us there, but if you look in your rear view and notice that we are no longer visible, it is because we have decided to keep our own counsel as to how we should get there." Craig and his passenger now hated me forever, but at least this was over. This plan, however, necessitated a shakeup that put me and Saman in Furman Beller's vehicle with Arcibald. The three of us would navigate. Leo and a hundreder moved to Cord's Fetch to balance the load. They would follow. Ganeliel Craig sprayed us with loose rocks as he gunned his fetch out into the open.
"That man behaves so much like the villain in a work of literature, it's almost funny," Arcibald observed.
"Yes,"
said one of the hundreders.
"It's as if he'd never heard of foreshadowing."
"He probably hasn't," I said. "But please remember that our driver is the only extra in this vehicle, and so let's show him the courtesy of speaking fluckish at least part of the time."
"Go ahead," said the hundreder, "and I'll see if I can parse it."
Fra Cormolithu, as this hundreder was called, was a little bit of a dork, but he had volunteered to go fetch Orlo, so he couldn't be all bad. He was 5 or 10 years older than Orlo, and I speculated that he was a friend of Paphlagon. "How many roads lead northeast, parallel to the mountains?" I asked Beller. I was hoping he'd say only one.
"Several,"
he said.
"Which one do you want to take, boss?"
"By definition, a butte is freestanding, not part of a range," Arcibald said in Orth.
"So
it rises from the plateau south of the mountains," I announced in Fluckish. "We don't need to take a mountain road." Beller put the vehicle into gear and pulled out. I waved goodbye to Tulia. She was watching us go, looking a little shocked. Our departure had been abrupt, but I was afraid that if we waited one more minute, there would be another crisis. Tulia had elected to go direct to Tredegar so that she could try to find Ayla. Perhaps I ought to have done the same. But this was not an easy choice, and I thought I was choosing rightly. If all went well, we'd get to Tredegar only a couple of days later than Tulia's contingent. She'd do a fine job of leading them there. Before leaving town, we stopped, or rather slowed down, at a place where we could get food without spending a lot of time. I remembered this kind of restaurant from my childhood, but it was new to the hundreders. I couldn't help seeing it as they did. The ambiguous conversation with the unseen serving wench, the bags of hot, grease-scented food hurtling in through the window, condiments in packets, attempting to eat while lurching down a highway, volumes of messy litter that seemed to fill all the empty space in the mob, a smell that outstayed its welcome.